Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Can we take our anchor scriptures for the day? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let me get in my reading. I am crucified. Can we read together? Let's go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. If we are using a hard copy scripture or Bible, I want you to notice this word, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Our second reading will be taken from the book of Romans chapter 1, the verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The verse 17. Why is he not ashamed of the gospel? For therein the righteousness of God is what? Revealed. So he's not ashamed because it is in that gospel the righteousness of God is what? From what? Faith to faith. As it is what? Written. The just shall live by what? So Paul in Galatians said that the life I live is not I that live, but by what? I live by what? Faith through the Son of God. And then Romans is saying that the just, those that have been justified, will live by what? Faith. Last reading, Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's take this forward. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by what? His faith. The just shall live by what? His faith. This is the very verse that Paul was quoting in the book of what? Romans chapter 1 verse what? 17. For it is what? Written. The written word he was talking about was Habakkuk's prophecy. And he said that the just shall live by faith. Today, we are taking our new sub-series under the faith doctrine, which is the second branch of faith, the subjective faith. And we are looking at, the title of this series is called Our Life of Faith, Part 1. Our Life of Faith, Part 1. Can we take a word of prayer? So Father, Lord, we thank you for this very morning, afternoon. We pray that, Lord, as your word cometh with might and power, let it have its effect and cause in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. We will be looking at the basic doctrines of the faith as is required, as a needful knowledge to pass on into maturity. Because the writer of Hebrews said that he couldn't teach more about priesthood as a result of the level of what knowledge and growth in the people he was ministering to. And hence, in the chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews, he expected them to go through again the solid or the basic doctrines of what? Of Christ, which is what? The basic doctrines of faith. Having it been the repentance from what? Dead works and faith what? Towards God. In what? Baptisms, in laying of what? Hands, in what? Resurrection, and then the second coming of what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been through with our first concept of the basic doctrine. And we find out about repentance from dead works. We started with faith. We look at the general definition of faith. And we found out that faith has three major steps or three branches. Faith as a stem has three branches. The first branch is what we call objective faith, which we treated for the past four Sundays. And we call it the things that are surely believed out by Acts. Today we are looking at the second aspect of the stem of faith, which is the subjective faith, and that we call it, which I've entitled out, our life of faith. The first thing I want to establish is that our life of faith focuses on the subjective faith of the individual. And when we say something is subjective, we are talking about it is what? Personal. It is subjective means that it is influenced by the individual's character and trait. So we say your subjective view means that the decision or whatever you are sharing here is as a result of your personal orientation, your personal exposure, and everything that defines who you are. Whatever you're saying is influenced by that. So we say that this is from my subjective what view. So that is what we're doing. So this faith is not our objective. Your objective is one thing that runs through all. So it is the same thing. It is just like when you are in class, one concept is being taught, but when you are asked to answer a question on that very concept, everybody has a way of what answering the question, true or false. It's the same thing you're looking at. So the objective faith is the general things we know, the most surely delivered unto us, that defined the Christian life we are living. But when we are being asked to live that objective faith, it becomes what we call the subjective faith. Now it's subjected to what? Our personal experience and exposure. And this subjective faith is also given to us in the Bible. It's also part of the faith component that God gave to us in our salvation reception. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, let's listen to what Paul Peter said to the church. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious what? Faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior. So he said, you have what? Obtained. In other words, you have also received what? Like what? Precious what? Faith. So Apostle Peter was talking about the individual's what? Faith. And said, this faith I'm talking about, though it's subjective, it is also what? Part of the component of faith that has what? Given to you. Hello? And therefore, we need to look at this component. This is different from what we did last time. And as we continue in today's series, you'll find out there are differences between them. And this is a very key one. Now, the next thing I want to establish, so now you know, the first thing I want to establish is that the subjective faith is also not different from the objective faith. They were all given to us as what? Gifts. Because without faith, we cannot relate with what? God. In the introduction to the faith concept, we found out that faith is the instrument that helps us what? To travel into what? Eternity and transact business or deal in eternity and still what? Live in time or able to bring the things of eternity into reality. Faith is the mechanism, is the instrument that makes the things that are already in eternity. And we agree that everything of the believer, everything of God is in eternity. Ephesians chapter 1, the verse 2 and 3 said, blessed be the Lord God our Father, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings where? In what? Heavenly places. So everything about you as a believer, everything about you as a Christian is held up in a very place called spiritual places. It's the same as what? Eternity. So how do we who live in time, live in earth realm, benefit from what is in the spiritual realm? We need what we call faith. And one of these aspects of the faith is what we call it, the subjective faith. It's also given to us so that we can be able to individually transact things with God. Now, this subject about faith is of great importance because the entire life of the believer is on faith. Let's take Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 again. Let's read it. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. He said, I am crucified with God. Nevertheless, yet not by what? Yes, let's continue. Hold it there. The life that I live now, I live by the what? The faith. I want to read the amplified version on this very concept. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shed his crucifixion. It is no longer I who what live, but Christ what lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by what? Faith. Paul was not saying that the individual, now he's talking about he himself. So this faith mentioned over here is not the objective what faith he's talking about here. He's talking about the subjective faith. And he's saying that this life we live now, I live by what? Faith. So the entire Christian life we live is a life of what? Faith. And this faith you're talking about is what? A subjective faith. What are we trying to say? Let's come into the realities of life. Have you been hearing this common term, say, "Wambo bra"? Have you ever heard that kind of common term? Eh? It means that in the society, we have certain indices that we use to measure the outcome of what we call a life lived what? Well. Is that not it? And if you are not able to meet those criteria, at certain age of your life, you will be tagged with certain common term that we were more better. Oh, bra papa ben aware then. I shared the funny incident with my brothers, and I've been sharing it with people that are close to me that one time on campus, I was with a couple of friends, like about 2-3 people, at UCC. We were in front of a hostel called Alumni Hostel. And we were chatting, and there was this guy who came and drove some Porsche car. Very Porsche car, young guy. Just speeding anyhow. So one of the guys with us made a comment and said, he's trying to mean that the guy didn't do anything to end the car. And a colleague among us told him that, so the other colleague was telling him that the result of the life he's living right now, and being speaking against another person as a result of the father not living a life war. So he should shout out, "My name is Yenkan Kwesiasen. My name is Papa Bobra Kanusuchi." When I heard that, I said, "God, let this not be said to my children. I refuse it for my children." I sat down and I thought, I said, this is a weighty statement. Life. The life that you live, when heaven is going to count on the life that you live as reflected in heaven, it should be the life of faith. So Paul said, "Nevertheless, I live not I, but Christ liveth." And the life I live in the body is the life of what? Faith. So heaven measures our brother, the kind of the indices to which heaven measures our brother is the life of what? Faith. And this faith we are talking about here is not the thing that we believe, but it is the subjective faith that is influenced by your training and your growth in God. I pray that heaven will find you that one more brother. That statement is a very heavy statement when it's meant to be said to you. So people can live for 30, 40, 50, 70 years, and all that people can say about them that he did nothing in life. Pambobra, you didn't live life. That is the right translation, right? You didn't what? So the question, what was the person living? Most of us are in church, and I can tell that heaven looks down on you and says that you have never lived your life. Because you're not living the life of what? Faith. So the subjective faith is very important to study, because it is the reason to which we will be what? It is the life that we are expected to what? To live. Having said this, let us draw certain clarity towards this very subjective faith. Number one, I said that this subjective faith is not the things we believe in, nor the things we trust, or the things we know as true. What am I saying? To understand this, let me continue with the next sentence I make. This faith is as a result of living on the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The subjective faith is as a result of living on the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by what? Today I'm reading with you, so I want you to. So then faith cometh by what? And hearing by the what? Word of what? God. This faith that was mentioned here, I thought there are three branches of faith. So we are identifying each of the components as is in scripture. This faith we are talking about is the salvation. He said it cometh by what? Hearing. And what? Hearing the what? So the first hearing is the informative knowledge. The second hearing is what? The experiential what? That is the rhema. So why am I saying that this is different from belief? Now, what we say belief, there are principles and rules or standards that define a certain act of life. So people believe in freedom, people believe in justice, people believe in all kinds of things. I hope you understand. People identify themselves, people believe in preservation of. Last time I saw a video of Pastor Elijah on the pastor stage where in UK saw a snake. And he said, if you lift a stone or a stake against it, police will come and arrest you. Because they believe in wildlife or conservation. Not in Africa here. Like by that time, that snake, he died. Or dying. And if by mistake, it found itself in certain parts of this country, it will not only die, but it will serve for other purposes. Hallelujah. So that is belief. But the question is, that is not faith. If that very thing you hold on to is what God said, hello, it becomes what? Faith. So let's take an example in the Bible. A man like Abraham got up one day and started walking about. Stepped on the road and was going, Abraham, where are you going? God said, as you what? That is what we call faith. But we can't say that the one who discovered America acted by faith. You know that many places were discovered by people, right? As they decided to journey or leave one place to another. That was not an act of faith. God didn't ask them to what? To move. Do you really get it? But Abraham did that as an act of what? So you can believe in a principle that does not make it what? Faith. Do you know in the Bible, even demons believe that God exists. But they don't have faith in God. Because they don't act on the word of God. So when we talk of the subjective faith, we are talking about acting on the word of God. It cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing the what? The word of God. Nothing more, nothing less. So therefore, anybody who lacks the ability to hear God eventually can never live a life of subjective faith. Until I'm winning Christians in Mormon. Because it's not about you knowing that God exists. It's not about you knowing about the essential doctrines of the faith. I hope you're listening to me. It's not about you knowing about the basic doctrines, some basic doctrines of the faith. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. That you know about the church, you know about the depravity of man. We spoke about all these things. You know about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That is belief. But when it comes to faith, it's talking about you practicing what God has what told you through scriptures or through revelation. And this is what Paul said, that the life we live is not the life I live. Nevertheless, it's the life of what? Christ. And I live this life in the body by what? Therefore, the subjective faith is given to us in a form of sin. So I was talking about the first nature of the subjective faith. As number one, it's as a result of the hearing of what? The word of God. And therefore, when we say somebody has started the journey of subjective faith, one of the evidence that the person is acting on the word of God, hearing and hearing God. Hello? You get it? Okay. Number two, this subjective faith comes as what? Seed. Remember that one of the characters of the word of God is what? It's a seed. Said my word, he said, it shall give seed to what? The sower, and bread to what? The eater. So the word of God also comes as seed. Jesus, in one of his parables, said, a man went to what? Sow. And he compared the seed to what? The word of God. Said, some fell on what? Roadside. Some on what? Rocky soil. Some on what? Fertile soil. So when we say hearing by the word of God, another nature of what? Faith is that it comes as a what? A seed. Subjected to what? Growth. That every seed, let me make it clear, one of the potency of a seed is ability to what? Grow. One of the potency of a seed is its ability to what? To grow. When somebody gives you a seed, we expect it to bring forth what? Fruit. And before we can get fruit out of a seed, it is needed to what? Go through what? Process, which is what? Grow. So this subjective faith is a faith that is not static. It's subjected to what? Growth. Let's read something small about this. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. So we are taking an introduction to our subject, the subjective faith. And the series is our life of faith. Because it's the life we are living. You need to know it. So that heaven will say that, wow, Abraham. Hallelujah. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of what? A mustard seed. If ye have faith, like. So, why would Jesus compare faith to a seed? Not any other thing. Tell that seed, faith is having the nature of what? A seed. The only thing Jesus compared faith with in the teachings of Jesus is only what? Seed. Read through all the Gospels. Anytime Jesus wants to compare faith, he compares faith to what? Seed. So one of the nature of the subjective faith is that it is what? Given to you as a what? A seed. And anytime you receive seed, one of the things you should know is that it is subject to what? Growth. And the yield of that seed depends on the kind of environment, the kind of nutrient that is exposed to, it will determine how much it will yield. Do you know that the seed of the sower in the parable, that those that fell on the good soil, do you know that they had different yields, right? The Bible says some yield how many percent? 30. Others what? 60. And others what? 100. So what was the difference? It's on the soil. Hello? We are still on earth. Our life of faith. So your life of faith that you are living is subject to what? Growth. And the kind of soil you create for it, the kind of what habitat you create for it, will determine the yield of that faith. Let's look at this. We've read Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, right? Let's look at Matthew, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Faith as a seed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. For we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward other abounded. What this about? We say faith is what? Growing. But love is what? Abounding. So, in other words, the faith of the individual believer is subjected to what? And there was a church called the Thessalonians Church whose faith was growing exceedingly. I pray. May heaven give testimony of your faith. That it is a faith that is growing what? Exceedingly. Exceedingly. A faith that is growing what? Exceedingly. Faith grows. And the kind of faith that grows is our subjective faith. We Paul said that it is on that faith that we what? Believe. In other words, when your faith is growing, you are growing in the Lord. Hallelujah. So far we've come to understand. I think if you don't know about it today, I've received certain understanding about the life that is expected of you. Is that not it? And it's a life of what? Faith. You've come to know the nature of the faith. Number one, we know that it is what? It's what? A seed. It comes by the hearing of God. So the seed comes by the hearing of what? So it means that anytime you hear the word of God, the seed has been released and is being nurtured. And in the study of the word of God, you find out that this subjective faith has a lot of manifestation. People have grown this faith to believe in healing, but they can't believe in prosperity. It's serious. God can give you the seed of faith for healing. You get it? It grows what? Exceedingly. Another word for exceedingly means what? It multiplies what? Itself. exponential. The word exponential means what? Exceeding comes from the word exponential, which means what? Multiplication. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the next thing we'll look at here. Because our subjective faith is subjected to growth, we want to see the various accredited level of growth assigned to each of the levels of faith. Now, in the teachings of Jesus, now he's the master teacher, okay? He's the man who, through whom faith was born, our faith, and the subjective faith we are living. I hope you already remember what I taught in the first introduction to faith. That faith is believing that God exists and embracing his what? His righteousness, right? Do you remember that? So we, the righteousness of God we are embracing is who? Jesus Christ, that's not it. And we believe that God what? Exists. Okay. So Jesus, in his teachings, was able to give certain accreditation scores, grades to the various faith, depending on your level of what? Growth. And today we want to look at those grading. After we look at those grading, in our next series concerning this lesson, we will see how we can be able to score the A grade. How we can score the what? Let's start with the F. Let's start with the what? The F. Are you ready for the F? The first grading that Jesus graded in the Bible was called the grade of no faith. Do you know that some seed can be dormant? Though planted, can be dormant and will never ever germinate to grow. If your faith, your subjective faith, give it to you as a seed, lives in your system as dormant, and there is no sign of it growth, we grade that seed as what? No faith. Mark chapter 4, give me the verse 38. Let's start from 38. So today we are going to mark. I want you to start looking at the marking systems, the marking scheme, and know your level of. And it's so dangerous to live a life of no faith. Do you know what that means? That means you are not living a godly life. You are not living the life of Christ. And as he was in the hidden part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we what? We perish. Let's continue verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Is a life of fear. When a believer lives a life of fear, the believer is credited with the grade of what? No faith. The Bible says, for he has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. When your life you are living is built on the life of fear, everything you do is so much influenced by fear, you are called a no faith what? Believer. And if you look at our generation, if there are people who are very fearful, it's Christians. They fear even mosquito. If you don't see the evidence of absence of fear is boldness. Many believers are living a life of fear. How many of you are bold enough to preach the gospel to the next person? How many of us are bold enough to take a stand for God? This generation, they are so careful in decision making for God. You have no faith. You are scoring F. You are not living the life of Christ. Jesus said to them, why? It's not about the sorrow. It is about the result of, you see, I don't know how they went to wake Jesus up. But when Jesus woke up, all you saw around them was fear. You have Jesus with you in the boat. A man who has worked all kinds of miracles. A man who has been transfigured before you. A man that you have had revelations of, knowing that is God. Knowing very well that God is with you in the boat. Yet still, you believe that the storm could destroy you. to the extent asking that God, don't you care that we will perish? How can God be with you and you perish? The Bible said, and if God be with us, who can be against us? Yes, so these people were in the boat with Jesus, and still they believe that even if God is with them, there are forces that can be able to overcome them. And Jesus woke up, rebuked, and said, why are you so fearful, or you are so afraid? Because you have no faith. May you be delivered from every symptoms of fear. That sickness will not consume you. The period you are going through, the difficulty you are going through, I am here to tell you that all you need is that God is in the boat of your life. We have given in to, we have magnified our problems more than the God we serve. All the time, the little wind that blows, the little wind that blows on our, over our boat, where is your anchor? So the average believer is living the life of what? No faith. F. May you not be said that God created you as a person of no faith. May it never be said that in heaven, when they look down, they say that you are a person full of faith. There is no life of faith in you at all. Because you never believe that with God is enough. I pray for you. May you know that the God you have is enough. The Bible says, if he never withhold his only dear son from us, how much more will he withhold all things unto us? I pray for you that any life you are going through now, any difficulty, any season of your life that is becoming a valley of death in your life, threatening you as if it's going to swallow you up, may you always remember that God is enough. And because with God, all things are possible. The mountain that looks impossible in your life, I am here to tell you that it can never overtake you. Because right there in the boat is Jesus, that is able, exceedingly able to save, able to provide. God is not dead. God is alive. And if God is alive, and there's Christ in you, I am here to tell you, those storm of life can overtake you. So have it. Jesus said to them, you people, you are graded with F. But they have room for improvement. May you improve. May you improve. We are in, Jesus already prophesied the season we find ourselves in. You think the dollar rate will come down? Eh? No. Very soon you enter 15 cities. But the Bible says, they that know their God shall wax strong. Shall wax strong. Shall wax strong. May you wax strong. May you know your God. What is God telling you in this season of Ghana? That the economy is so hard. What is God telling you? That there is no job. What is God telling you? That there are many attacks on the lives of people. What is God telling you? Because the just shall live by their faith. And faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. And I pray for you that you will hear God for yourself. Because in the very land that there was drought, Isaac heard God. And he sowed and he reaped 100-fold. I pray when men are saying there is a casting down, we will say there is a lifting up. Because we have God. And we are not people of no faith. Me love a castle. I'm not moved. I'm not moved by the things I see. Because deep within me, I know who is in me. For greater is he that is in me than that of the world. I been so serious with the error, then I will be quiet. Though my enemies and my foes shall surround me, but I trust in the Lord my God for my salvation. That which cannot kill you, that which you said you don't marry, you will marry. That which that says that you don't give, but you give it, because God alone is enough. No faith. Number two. The second student, who are E and C, E and D students, we call them little faith. little faith. And as I found four grading systems about faith, Jesus spoke about in the Bible. Little faith. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. I hope nobody here is in F zone. If you're in F zone, you need help. Who are so scared for life? What? Do you know fear can? Do you know decisions either take on based on faith or fear? Do you know that? As a believer, is it that what you did was as a result of fear or faith? Some of you are doing certain jobs because as a result of fear. Some of us are also doing certain jobs as a result of what? Faith. So people think that we are fools. Some of us chose to do certain work, and if you tell you the stupid decisions you have taken in human face, you let nobody use fear. Some of you, your parents, your brothers, your sisters have instigated and created fear around you. So they are forcing some of you to marry, forcing you to do certain work. You yourself, deep within you, know that this work, God has not asked you to do it. You're doing it. And you see your life being a struggle. But I know that the God we serve is faithful. If he asks you to sell charcoal, he will prosper you to charcoal. If he asks you to sell pure water, he will prosper you to pure water. And I tell you, you can travel abroad and be poor because God didn't ask you to go. Let you fit. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Sometimes you ask yourself, God can waste his energy. Something that is only subjected to 24 hours, God still called clothing. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith is the people who cannot believe God for divine supply. And give us this day our daily. How? God knows that you will be hungry tomorrow. Even the grass on the field, which has a 24-hour lifespan, God still clothed it. You think God cannot give you a provision? So God said, my God is able to do exceedingly than you can think of or ever ask. Little faith is a faith that doubts God's ability to provide for them. These people, it's not like they have fear. You see, doubt is a journey to fear. When the moment doubt sets into your life, you are already entering towards. So now you see, you have moved from fear, you are coming towards the doubtful what? It's a doubtful person who thinks that somebody asking me to sleep with him or her for a job, if I don't do it, I'll not get a job. And I'll go hungry. If mad people are still eating, how much more you? Oh, you people, let's continue. Let's read the whole verse. Let's read. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall I what? What shall we what? Or what shall we what? Or what with thou shall we be what? Take no thought. Let me pray for you. Take no thought. Doubt. It's time from where? Yeah. May God deliver you from the life of doubt. Always have doubt about what to drink and what to be clothed with. Oh, you of little faith. Always believing God's ability to provide. People didn't work for 40 years, yes, to God fed them. 40 years on the desert. The people of Israel never went. They didn't go to farm. They never did anything. They didn't sleep hungry. Believe in that God. Because he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forever. If he has done it before, he will do it. If the bowl of flour never went empty and the jar of oil never ran dry, because God said so, I am here and I declare as a prophet, let that little one left on you, that little job you are doing, let it be sufficient for you. Because God is able to provide. He is a providing God. His name is Jehovah Jireh. In our point of obedient in meeting with provision. All we need is to be obedient. Isaac has the father. Here is the wood, and here is the fire. Where is the lamb? And he said that God will provide. And indeed, God provided. In the point of where there is nothing, may God provide. Because God is able. God is able. Church, we are talking about the life we live. The life Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 is not the life of fear and doubt. It's not the life of no faith and little faith. We can't raise a generation of people who cannot even believe God for little things. How can we walk in bigger things of God? You are here, you are even doubting that God can take you abroad. Now how can God give you a Philip experience? If you are mad yourself and you don't deserve to sit in a flight, how can God give you Philip experience? Teleport, boom. Then you appear in Germany. When you have done, then boom, in London. You see, you are doubting because you don't even believe that God can even put you on a four-wheel drive. Let me pray for you. When the time is up, the Bible said, in his own time, you make all things beautiful. May your time and season never be missed. The moment doubt steps in, the enemy comes to steal your blessing. The enemies always throw doubt so that you have little faith for little things. Little faith is for little things. And I pray, Hadu Makaya, may you have more than little faith. Hadu Milia Kapaya. We cannot continue doubting God for our basic needs. He is able to provide. I rebuke that spirit of doubt. I rebuke that spirit of fear. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth and you make no free. I stand as an anchor of truth. And I declare according to the word of God, God is with you and God is able. He will repeat it in your time. In the name of Jesus. Yet though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, but he's with you. He is with you. And the day will come, he will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. There is a day of running over. It is coming. It is coming. Because God is able. And we believe you know it. Our life of faith is not a life of doubt. Our life of faith. Though I live, not I, but Christ lived. And the life I live in this body is the life of faith, not a life of doubt and fear. The difference between us and heaven is that though there are seasons of fear, there are seasons of doubt. They don't transcend into our life because we only lift up our head unto the mountains. For when cometh our help, cometh from the Lord God. A God who does not sleep nor slumber. That is our hope. Though many will trust in chariots and not in horses, but our trust is in the Lord. And then thousands shall fall on our side, 10,000 at our right hand, because it will not come near us. For our faith is God. Little faith is for basic needs. Let us grow beyond it. Little faith is required. Jesus said that if we can tell the mountain to move, do not mountain stands for problems. You just need a little faith to deal with problems of life. What are you going through? Jesus said that all you people of little faith will always think that problems are the bigger thing, the most biggest thing. There's a dimension of what you get to that. Don't worry about you tomorrow, even if your pocket is empty. I've been living that life for some time now. How many of you have 0.0? I don't have a bank account. Ask my wife. I have only one bank account, ADB. I have only 30 cities left for the past 3 years. If you ask me, do I ever even think of building a house and buying a car? No, that doesn't cross my mind. When the time comes, I don't need money to get a house. All I need is it. When the time comes, I don't need money to get a car. All I need is faith. I am crazy in man with God, and I believe that he's able. He's able. The three women said to the king that we are not careful to answer you, O king. For the whole we believe he's able. Even if he decides not, we trust in his ability. You can see, when you invite a man over for a program, he was encouraging me in ministry. It's just that this is Lagos. And he was sharing with me how he started ministry. So difficult as a young minister. And he was meeting in tent with people. Then God gave a little breakthrough and they moved to East Lagos here, into a small place that they rented. He used to organize prayer meetings for everybody, not only church people. People used to come and they've been praying and people used to receive breakthrough. Just this year, one of the people that have been coming regularly for his prayer meeting came to me and told him that they've had a breakthrough in Portugal and they are relocating to Portugal and they don't know when they are coming back. And this is it. They said they have a three-bedroom in East Lagos. Listen to me. Three-bedroom in East Lagos. Well-furnished bedroom. And they have been praying to God what to do with the room. And God told them that they should hand over the entire house and papers to the man of God. They came to the man of God and then they gave the papers to him and the key. And that's where the man of God is staying right now. Now, where he's staying right now, it is just 10-minute drive to church. And he told me, man of God, it would have taken me 70 years, even more, of hard and labor to buy a land in East Lagos. Not to talk of building a house, furnishing it with a swimming pool. But in a space of 10 and 15 years of being faithful with God, God gave it to me. One of the things I told my wife, this is what I know God will do to my life. Because in the kingdom of heaven, our currency is faith. Our currency is faith. The life we live is a life of faith. We know that when the time is up, our Father shall supply all our needs according to the riches of his glory. I pray for you. Let this not, this small school fees tear you down. I know people who know they could never graduate. Becky is an example. Becky, have you graduated? It almost seems that Becky will never complete school in Lagos. Yes. You don't know what God can do. Sometimes it looks like everything has taken over your life. And you are wondering where is the hope coming from. But have at least a little faith. Know that this little faith will secure this niche. If you are here, you are wondering about your school fees, wondering about accommodation, wondering about what you need, I am here to tell you that God is able. He said, God, go, verse 31. Oh, my dear people. Therefore, take no thought. Tell your friend, take no thought.
Take no thought.
Don't waste your mind on thinking about what you eat. Oh. Now let's move to the B student. The next grade is what we call the B student. The second level of, you see, so this is the level of growth. So most of the times as believers, we start with fear. Then when we teach, so do you know how fear is cast away? Perfect love cast away what? Fear. So when we are being exposed to the love of God, and God will begin to embrace the love of God, and you see that fear is being dispersed off. And you see that our journey of faith starts. So that when you get to that, you don't fear anything. That's when the weights can cook and you eat. And thank him or her. Oh, Jesus, me, my home, if I go, I don't care whoever cooked the food. I bless it and I eat. You can't do me for good. My life is not in your hands. You can't determine my end. Some of you are told that this person is a witch. Even the dust of the feet of the person, you don't want to pass by. You don't want to breathe the air he's breathing. Fearful Christian. Hey, you know what they say? And then we have moved on from that fear. And then later on, God will begin to teach you how to receive from him. So sometimes God can close the window small to see how you act. You see, so that was like, you know how God trained us to pray? He said, teach us to pray, not teach us how to pray. God teaches you to pray. You know how he teaches you to pray? When God wants to bear the dimension, you know what you do? Close the heavens more. Then you limit your supply. Then you see that you begin to extend in prayer. You say, hey, one more. It's like AB's prayer topic. Pray in 1 minute. Pray. Hey, you know you almost started that in NIA. I wanted to give that scam to us. We didn't accept it. We are praying the next one. We say, oh God, help us. And then this guy wants to scam us. So that's how God will put you. God begin to stretch you. So you see, you pray for 2 hours, the breakthrough is not coming. Wait, not the fasting account. Nobody in the yam. So say, I'm saying, so now you are praying because you want a breakthrough. God will pretend as if he has not seen you pray. The reason why he's doing that is because he wants to open certain dimensions of encounter to you. So when you keep praying now and then your mind is off the thing you are praying for, now the prayer begins to switch you. You now start, you see that some of the things you didn't pray for, they start happening. You pray for it, okay? Nothing come by accident. Anything you have received, you pray for it. Just that God does to close the heavens to stretch you. And when you have forgotten it, he gave it to you. Take note of it. That is it. When your thought is no more on the things, and it's on God, the things come naturally. Take note of it. May we shift our prayer topic from God, I need bread and butter. And start saying, I want to see your face. I want to know your ways. I want to touch your grace so I can live your days. I want to see you. That should be the prayer topic we start praying. And you wonder that how did I receive this money? God, I pray for you. You prayed for it, my brother, my sister. Everything you receive, God, you pray for it. Ask, it shall be given to you. What design for more? Be students, great faith. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 to 28. Now we are moving into a dimension called great faith. We are going to learn about how to the levels of growing in this faith. So you see that today's prosperity and messages is about little faith. Do you agree with me? Getting cars, getting breakthroughs, business is little faith. We have over maximized the little faith. Let me show you what great faith is. Then he says, and said unto her, oh woman, great is what? Okay. Let us say verse 22. What do I jump to 28? Hey, brother. Then Jesus, and behold, a woman of Cana. Listen, this woman is not a Jew. She's what? Cana means that she's what? A Gentile, not part of the commonwealth of Israel. A woman of Cana came on out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with what? A devil. Continue. Now look at the context. This now is not about storm. It's not about food. Now we are dealing with a higher dimension. Have you seen the next dimension? What did he say? Not demons, but devil. But he answered them not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. Great faith cries. So now, this kind of faith is what we come to work that job in teaching us, resolving spiritual conflict, dealing with legalities of the kingdom. But he answered and said, I am not sent on but unto the lordship of what? The house of what? Israel. I don't understand the scripture here. So this woman is not qualified for what she's crying for. The systems and the laws are against her. But see what faith can do, great faith can do. See it. Listen, verse 26. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Continue. She walked, she did what? Worship. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. It's a problem. Do you know what it means? That what is meant for children to eat cannot be given to dogs. In other words, this thing you are asking for, you don't qualify for it. And there is no way the systems as have come now permit, because as after you have not died. Are you following? So the Gentiles have no share in the things of God. So he cannot break protocols of the kingdom for you. But we watch what the great faith will see. And she said, truth, Lord. Say, yes, I agree. So you see, resolving spiritual conflict is here. Agree with what? The situation. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their masters. Then verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said, this woman knew what we call grace. This statement she made over here is what? And mercy. In place of judgment, in place of law, in place of legalism, that is what we call it, mercy. So she came boldly unto the throne room of grace, that she was able to find grace and obtain Jesus said, this woman, somebody was able to buy into the council. See, great faith is a faith that is able to know the legalism of the kingdom, the rules of the kingdom, okay? And is able to know how to work around it for a favor. Say, Lord, what he said is true. Yes, my family, we have been declared poor. We have been declared that this breakthrough cannot come. But there's a prophecy in the Bible. Oh, the lack of that Messiah. See, the woman was able to tap into what was not yet. That is faith. What was not seen by people yet? The death and resurrection of Jesus, who will bring about grace and mercy. Paul always said that grace and mercy be multiplied on you. The death and the resurrection of Jesus, that has not been manifested yet. To release that dimension, this woman was able to tap into it. See from it and say that yes, the crumbs is enough. May the crumbs of the kingdom be enough for you. Oh. She didn't accept. See, there are times, and in other words, what the woman activated is what we called miracles. That is the point I want to establish. Miracles is when all the laws and systems of heaven is suspended for the sake of you. May God give you a miracle. Amen. I said visa and provisions are little faith. Those things are not miracles. They are those things are your rightful heir. Let me say it quickly. In the kingdom, as a child of God, there are things that you have to gain as a result of being not a child. The Bible says, who as a father, will the son ask of him bread, that you give a lot, show. Nor meat, you give a lot, snake. Ask. So there are things we receive as a result of being children of God. There are things that we receive as a, these things, we don't call them miracles. These are our rightful things we make claim for. Example, health, food, provisions. They are our rightful things. When we are hungry, Jesus says, and pray in like manner. Give us what? This day our house. So we don't beg for bread, we demand it. Because we are children of God, and it's the gift of the Father to us. But there are things of the kingdom that you can't receive because of a father and son relationship. You receive it as you engage the laws of the kingdom. And that is where miracles. Oh. When somebody is bowing for 15 years and the person gives them to fall and then they say, well, that's a miracle. When somebody has been cursed and instantly there is a deliverance. When, and you see that miracles come as a result of the many influences of demonic forces. Oh, the one that was is that the daughter of the woman was being inflicted by the devil. When demonic systems and covets has taken over the life of a person, you need a miracle. A miracle does not come on what small faith or little faith. It comes as a result of what? Great faith. So the woman activated the message and the grace of God. And miracle, I pray for you. Any miracle you are crying unto God, may heaven give you the revelation that you will activate the message of God. Let heaven intervene for you. Anything you are going through in life, let the intervention of heaven come out. Let the laws of the kingdom be suspended. Some of you are destined not to ever travel because the family witches and wizards and the idols of your family has risen above all standard. That there is a limitation you can never go. There is a ceiling over your life. But as the woman with a great faith was able to provoke what was not hers, I pray may great faith break that ceiling for you. May every miracle you are due, may God open that door for you. Every limitation in your life, may the laws of this earth be suspended. Amen. Said, oh woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus said that as you have willed, because you are able to understand the counsel of heaven and activated something as a result of great faith, your will. That's why the Bible says that the endless expectations of the righteous, may your endless expectation never be cut off. I declare, by great faith, you can also be a president. Oh, Isaac, you can also be the president of Ghana. The Lord can bend the law for you. And it will require great faith. Yes. You can also be the next millionaire in Ghana. Yes, you can. But great faith will secure that one. We can't do this by little faith. We can't do this by no faith. We need great faith. So the Bible said, by faith, they took over our territories. The Bible said, they conquered and took over territories. This is the kind of faith we need in this generation. That we can take over a city. We need great faith to take over cities. Take over the mountains for God. Let me talk about the last one. I was talking about great faith, right? So the A plus, or the A, is what Jesus called so great faith. So great faith. So faith grows. It starts with no faith, grows into little faith. We enter into what we call great faith, and then we enter into what we call so great faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, besieging him. That's what he said. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of death. What is that word? Palsy or palsy of. Okay. Grievously tormented. Let's continue. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Listen. Watch it. Jesus didn't refuse this man. He said, I will come and do what? Healing. See how so great faith work. Faith cometh by what? And hearing the what? So see what somebody did. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should comest under my roof. But speak the word. So great faith means holding the word. Speak the word only. So great faith. There are people who take God by his word. Take the word of God and produce it. They don't need it. It's not like they don't need God. The word of God is not for them. Let me show you something. Most times people are able to receive from God, okay? They need some particular atmospheres. Are you following? Look very closely to the life of the people of Israel. Either God comes with tender enlightenment. Are you following? There are certain physical signs to prove that God is coming for their heart to be open to what? Receive. Before their faith can be what? Activated to what? That is a little faith. You get it? That is a little faith. That dimensions are great faith. But Moses and other people, all they need is to hear God speak. Moses was just to move when the Red Sea was in front of him. God said, yes, what? Tell the people to go. God never blew a wind. God never did anything. But when God spoke, Moses was. Great faith, so great faith is a dimension where all you need is what? The word. How many people are living their life on what God has said? When you go to a place and you don't see people falling down and you say, oh, no. That's why people who are under a teaching ministry, they are very dangerous people. Because when the word is given to them, it's enough. Can I show a man who walked in so great faith in this land of Africa? His name is Benson Idahosa. One day the pastor told him that if you believe in God, he said that you can raise the dead. That is all he needed. When he heard that, he took a bicycle. He started looking for a dead body. Verse 8, verse 9. For I am a man under what? So the next thing is that so great faith deals with authoritative what? Power. Having soldiers under me, and I said to this one, man, go, and you go ahead to another camp, and you and do to myself, and do this, and you do it. This. Verse 8. When Jesus said it, he marveled. For the first time, Jesus was surprised on it. Jesus never knew that there are people who are in that kind of dimension. That they believe that the word is enough. The Bible says that in the beginning was what? The word. And the word was what? With God. And the word was what? by the word, all things will be. We believe that by truth, we believe that everything was created by the word of God. Everything, all you need is the word. The many Christians have been robbed of what God can and where God can take them because they always want to go past by us the word. Jesus was not, and he said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. It is time that the church will begin to walk into so great faith. That only the all that we need to do is just send the word. All that we need is what? The word. We will be hungry for the word to hear God's word. The warfare of our generation is a matter of the word's relationship. Is it the media that is feeding your life or the word of God? Whatever you get in our generation now is the warfare of words. Whose word is building you? Are you being built on the word of God, what Jesus is saying, or what your circumstances is saying? Are you being built on the word of God, of what Jesus is saying, or what the media is saying, what the government is saying, what the economy is saying? Our generation needs so great faith to live a life of purity. Our generation needs so great faith to live a life whole of consecration, holy consecrated life. Our generation needs so great faith to live by the word of God. It is time to start asking our pastor, is fornication a sin? What the word of God says? Pastor, is lottery a sin? What the word of God says? Pastor, if I'm working at the police and then it's a gay company, and what the word of God said to me? What is God telling you? This is the kind of generation that God is going to raise. That the God who raised you says that you will be a people of so great faith. That all you need is the word of God. As we journey through this faith series of our subjective faith, it's my prayer that you will reach the dimension of a so great faith. That all you need is the word of God. Speak the word. You will be a man who understands authority. You will be a child of God who understands the place of Christ in your life. That you are under the authority of Christ. And all that you need is the word being spoken. And you understand that Jesus has the highest authority. What the man was trying to say over here is that Jesus is a man of authority. Said that he is a soldier in a centurion. And he can command lesser soldiers and they will obey. Jesus' authority is over demons and principalities. Jesus' authority is over all kinds of powers. The Bible says, for God has exalted him above all thrones, above all kings. So as he, as a centurion, can command less soldiers and they will do, Jesus does not need to take a feat. Jesus does not need to do anything to impress him. Jesus does not need to do anything to show that he's having authority. All he has to do is to speak, oh Lord, speak. When you come to a point in your life, when you believe in only what God has said about you, you are in a so great faith. It's not an easy thing. You can be like David. When they said you have been anointed as king, and yes, you have been chased out of the palace, a king carrying the crown, running into cave. Some of you are like that. You need a so great faith to believe that all God has said will never fail. I pray for you. May the enemy never come after you like he came after Peter. Jesus said unto Peter, said, Simon, Simon, the devil seek you and he wanted to sieve you like a wheat. But I pray for you that your faith will not fail. The enemy has taken away many things from many believers because you are living a faith that is failing. But I pray for you over here that your faith will never fail. Knowing that what God has said, it is yea and amen. So, it should be established that we do so on this earth as believers on account of what? Love, hope, and what? Faith. What God is going to create us in heaven are three things. What you did in love, what you did in hope, and what you did in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, can we read it? So we need to know the full benefit of our subjective faith because it's upon that that heaven is grading us. What have you done in faith? What have you done in love? And what have you done in what? Hope. And this is a matter of subjective faith. I want to conclude with it. Wow. Wow. Let me say this in the next 3 minutes. Faith is so essential. With all that I've said right in front of faith is what? Essential. It's so essential that the writer of the book of Hebrews brought to the knowledge of the church or made us know that good records in heaven come as a result of a life of what? Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. Let's see. Good reports from heaven come as a result of what? Faith. So for by it, okay, let's start from verse 1 so that you know what we're talking about. Verse 1. Now what? Faith is the substance of what? Things what? An evidence of this not what? Sin. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained the what? I pray for you. This is my prayer, and this is all that we are expecting from God in this journey of this faith series. That we will obtain good report from heaven. Let the report from heaven be good report. They said by faith the elders obtain good report. What kind of life are you living? It is a life that is not of faith. It is a life of no faith. The heaven has no good report about you. Jesus was reported, and heaven reported of Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration unto the 3 disciples and said unto them, this is my beloved son in whom I am what? Well pleased. Hear him then. I pray for you that God will give report about you. Do you know what we call report in heaven? That means we call publicity. God will publicize you. Very soon. You see, when you are able to live a full life of faith, you don't need social media. Have you heard that people, see, I keep saying this and I'll say this, no money is stingy. People give to what they have, they believe in. I'm telling you the truth, nobody is stingy. Yeah, people give to where they have been led to give and what they believe in. People give into sports bets because they believe in sports bets. People go to idol worships and give offerings because they believe in it. People show into the life of men of God because they believe in what God is doing in the life of the people. My brother, my sister, if you're not seeing people showing into your life or blessing you, are not receiving certain dimensions of blessing, it's because the report about you has not gone forth. Because I know in scriptures that there was a time a man who sat at the gate of a king and prevented the king from being killed by two of his people. One night, the king Xerxes couldn't sleep because a man has not yet been rewarded. The Bible said, and God made the night of the king so frustrated that the king asked for the chronicles of a good report. And when he read, he found out that there was a man who is the uncle of the wife of he the king, and that king must be able to have not armed the man. He called upon the enemy of that man and asked him that what shall be done unto a man who has done a good thing unto the king. He said, let the man ride on the horse of the king and let somebody go forth and declare, this is what God and the kings are doing unto whoever does good deal. The man never asked for that. Who knows the name of the man? Mordecai. Mordecai never asked the king that I need to ride on your horse. Mordecai never reminded the king that I saved your life. But because Mordecai lived a life of faith, and it was the time, the Bible said good report was sent from heaven. And that good report, the man could not sit on it. That's what the Bible said, that when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies, he maketh peace with them. I pray for you. May your life be a life of faith, that even your enemy is going to make peace. I'm serious about this. We need a good report from heaven. Nobody can brand you better than God's branding. Nobody can brand you better. Nobody can make noise about you than God. One miracle can launch one idea. Hey, all you come there is one idea. May heaven speak well of you. Heaven speak well of you. People like Cornelius, heaven spoke well of them. By faith, he obtained good report. I pray for you that may your faith grow. May your faith grow. From today, may your faith grow in all that you do. Can we give a clap of hand unto the Lord?
gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.